just want you.
Heavenly Father, we come before you now, and some of us have so much on our minds. And I just pray that we'd lay it all at your feet right now. Lord, for the family John just told me about, we lift them up. We pray for deliverance from drugs. And Lord, that you'd place someone in their life that can help and show them, and that they might be delivered. Father, for all of our family that's traveling today, we just ask that you'd place a hedge of protection around them, watch over them. And Father, for this service time, we pray that we wouldn't be distracted by anything, but we would be listening intently to hear your voice. And that there'd be true freedom today. That we'd be set free from whatever has us bound this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, next weekend is Independence Day, and independence and freedom. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, is what true freedom is. And you know, it's amazing to me that there can be people bound in prison. There can be people in countries that won't allow them to have the freedoms and the privileges that we have here, but yet they can be more free than the people who are walking the streets here in America today. We're going to begin in Luke 4. Verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." What we're talking about here is good news. It doesn't matter if you're the richest person in this room or the poorest person in the room. It's good news. He says He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You might say, well, freedom for prisoners. Well, I'm free. I'm here, ain't I? I'm not locked up. I'm not bound up. But are you really free today? Do you really have that freedom in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit? John 8:36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And I look around and I think of how many people are bound up and we're not truly free. We're bound up in materialism. We want more, we want nicer, we want newer. We're bound up in approval of men, approval of our neighbors. That's why social media, I believe, is so popular, because we want that approval, we want that connection, we want people to like us. And y'all, that's a dangerous area. We're bound up in lust. There's the lust of a opposite sex nature, and there's a lust of material things, there's a lust for money, there's all different ways that we're bound up in lust. We're bound up in gluttony, eating, and more, and we're not satisfied, and we want this food or that food, and our whole lives are based on our meals. We're bound up in pride, arrogance, thinking we're better than others, thinking that we don't need help, we're self-sufficient. Some of us are bound up in anger. There's a bitterness. We're bound up in bitterness. There's somebody that hurt us. There's someone that wronged us. There's something that's not quite right with our life, so we allow this anger and this bitterness to build inside of us. Some of us were bound up in unforgiveness. We can't forgive that person that hurt us. We can't forgive that person that said that thing. We can't forgive that person that wronged us. You say, "Oh, Pete, I'm free today." But then one of those things, maybe several of those things, the Spirit spoke to you about as I was saying, and you said, "You know what? I am anger. I am bitter. I do have a problem with gluttony. I do have a problem with lust. I do have a problem with materialism. I do have a problem with wanting approval from others. I do have a problem with pride. There's something inside right now." And then you're saying that we can be set free from that? We can be set free from those things. And I'm saying, yes, you can be set free from whatever it is that has you bound this morning, that Jesus Christ made a way. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Do you believe that this morning? That you don't have to give in to that anger, to that bitterness, to that lust, to whatever it is that has you bound up this morning, that Jesus has made a way. And this story kind of, I really got thinking this week when my neighbor called me. It was Wednesday morning, and she said, "Pete, your dog's over here on my porch." I said, "Well, I'm at work. I can't get there. Is she bothering you?" "Oh, she ain't bothering a thing. I was just letting you know where she was at." I said, "Well, if she starts bothering you, let me know, and I'll have Hayden go get her. If not, I'll wait till I get home." So I go to get the dog, and I'm like, they're on the electronic collars, and I'm like, why is the collar not working? Come to find out, I had unplugged the battery base that sends out the range. I can't even remember how long ago it's been, at least a month, because I had to plug in and recharge a cordless drill. And I don't know why, but I'd unplugged the base and I never plugged it back in. So that dog had been free for at least a month and didn't know it. It stayed within its boundaries for all that time, and the dog was free to roam. The dog was free to go, and it didn't even know it. And can I tell you something, church? And in relation to that, there's some of you this morning that you're bound up in your sin. You're bound up in something, and Jesus has set you free, and you don't even know it. You don't even realize that you're free this morning because there's that invisible boundary still holding you back. There's something still holding you back. Satan's still holding you back. Satan's still telling you, you can't be set free. Satan's still lying to you. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. How many of you have ever felt the Holy Spirit inside of you? How many of you have ever heard the Holy Spirit tell you, go there, don't go there, stop, do this, don't do that? And it might not be an audible voice, but there's something inside of you speaking to you. If you're a child of God, I pray and hope you've heard that. And if you haven't, you need to come up to these altars and let us pray for you, okay? Because the Spirit of the Lord is real. The Holy Spirit is real, and He gives us guidance and He gives us direction. And it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So if you have the Spirit of the Lord this morning, there's freedom for you. There's freedom for me. We don't have to be bound up in this invisible realm of saying, I can't get set free. I can't forgive. I can't get past this lust. I can't get past the approval of men. I can't get past the materialism. I can't get past this bitterness. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Has Satan deceived us to think that we can't be set free, that we can't enjoy our life and not be bound up anymore? And see, Satan wants to make you think that you can't be free. And as I was thinking about this, and I thought, I wonder, though, how many of us, it's not even Satan that's keeping us from being free, but it's just we enjoy sin. We just like to sin, and we really don't even want to be free from it. If you go to John 3:16, familiar text, I go here a lot, it seems. You watch a football game, basketball game, you used to see this posted all the time. I don't see it much anymore, but of course I don't really watch basketball or football anymore, but John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Amen. Hey, that's good news. That's freedom, right? For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Amen. I just read this not too long ago about condemnation and not being living under condemnation. And so Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. That's good news. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Uh-oh. I'm taking a little different shift here. From Jesus came to save us, He didn't come to condemn us, but if you don't believe in Him, then there's condemnation. And then verse 19, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light. Their deeds were evil. And see, I wonder if some of us haven't been set free because we love the evil more than we love Jesus. We haven't been set free because we love our sin so much. We love that gluttony. We love that lust. We love that approval from everybody. We want to get those likes. We want to get that pat on the back. And maybe you're not free this morning and you can say, oh, I wish I didn't have to give in to that. I wish I didn't do this and I wish I didn't do that. But really, you're lying to yourself because you love it. Men love the darkness. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Have any of y'all ever kind of, I guess there's two ways to look at this. Has any of y'all ever talked bad about somebody and got caught and you had to fess up? It's not fun. I've done it. But if any of y'all have ever been accused of talking bad about somebody and you really didn't do it, and then it's okay, because why? You can come into the light. I have nothing to hide. I'll tell you the truth. It's happened to me more than once. It's happened to me inside this church. Years ago, where someone said, Pete said this and Pete said that. And I called them out on it. Said, you need to make this right because I did not say that and you're lying. But you know what? There's been other times when I had said stuff and it's like, oh, sorry. I shouldn't have. See, when you're walking in freedom, you can come into the light because you're set free from all that stuff and you don't have to worry about what you're saying or how you're saying or whatever because you're not doing that junk. Does that make sense this morning? So we can come into the light because we're not ashamed of what we're doing. When you're at home by yourself, when you're at work, when you're at Walmart, when you're driving in your car, is it okay if I'm sitting there with you? Because you're not going to be ashamed of what's taking place? You know what? What's more important, is it okay because Jesus is there with you? Y'all, I can't tell you how often people apologize to me when they cuss. Because they know I'm a preacher. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry, Pete. And I'm thankful and I'm glad that they do that. But you know what? I tell them, you don't got to apologize to me. God's the one that's listening to you. God's the one that's hearing what you're saying. Now, I don't want people just talking filthy around me. I appreciate that they hold their tongue a little bit. But you know, I'm not the one that they need to be apologizing to. And it's amazing to me when how people will act differently around a Christian. They may act differently around you, but they think they're getting away with something when they're in private or when they're with their buddies that act just like them. But church, it's because men love darkness. And so how we love our sin, we love our darkness, and sometimes it seems like it's easier to just live in that and be like everyone else. See, sometimes it just seems easier, like, oh, I don't really want to be set free because it's hard, because I'll be made fun of, because there's a fight, because there's a battle. In Numbers 14, 1 through 4, and this is when the Israelites have been delivered out of Egypt. And it says, that night all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in the desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword. Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. And you know what they're saying is there? Wouldn't it be easier to just go back into slavery? Wouldn't it be easier to just go back into captivity? And you guys think, that sounds ridiculous. But how many do that? Jesus has set you free from something. Jesus has set you free, but yet when you go to work, then you're weird. You're different. You're not like everybody else, so it's hard. You don't cuss. You don't go to the party and get slobbering drunk. You don't go out and cheat. You don't go and do all this stuff. So you're kind of the outcast all of a sudden. People don't include you. And sometimes it's hard. And so what Satan do and what's the flesh do? It draws you back and say, wouldn't it just be easier to go back? Wouldn't it be easier to just go back and not have to deal with all this? And not be the outcast, not be the person that everybody's looking at. Sometimes, y'all, the freedom that Jesus provides is going to make the world very uncomfortable. Does that make sense? Sometimes the freedom that Jesus provides makes the world seem very uncomfortable. Why? Because we're not of the world anymore. We're not like the world. And sometimes it's a fight, and sometimes it's a battle. When life gets hard, and what do we tend to do? We tend to go back. You guys, I've seen it time and time again where people will go back to their alcohol, to their cigarettes, to their drugs when life gets hard. Why? Because that's the easy thing to do. That's the easy thing to gravitate back toward. The hard thing is to seek God out. The hard thing sometimes is to accept His freedom. James 1:25 says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Okay, that was kind of a mouthful there, but what is he saying? Who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. See, I wonder if we haven't experienced freedom because we're not really looking intently into the perfect law, into the Word of God. See, it's easier to go back and drink with your buddies. It's easier to go back and talk bad about people and gossip at work. It's easier to go back and do those things. What's hard sometimes is to say, Jesus has set me free, and then to study this Word and realize that freedom is for you and for me. Does that make sense? To intently look into the perfect law that gives freedom and continue to do it. See, we're fighting wars all the time, at work, at home, in our minds. The Israelites were looking back at Egypt. How many of us are looking back at the world and the flesh and those desires, and we really don't want to work hard? You know, we're celebrating Independence Day, and you can go back and study the real history of this country and look at how hard men fought for our freedom. Look at how hard, even in World War I, World War II, that the men and women of our nation sacrificed so that we could be set free. Freedom is hard sometimes. Freedom costs something sometimes. Freedom makes us uncomfortable sometimes. And for us as Christians, sometimes freedom means when you're struggling with that addiction, when you're struggling with that, with whatever that is that's bounding you up, it means sitting down and opening the Word of God and studying and praying and getting verses in your heart and getting verses in your mind and sticking verses on your refrigerator and on your mirrors and quoting them and saying them. And sometimes it's getting on your knees, and sometimes it's getting on your face, and it's praying and it's crying out and it's asking God to deliver you. And what I've seen in my life, and this is from personal experience, is that Jesus has set me free from things. And I was free, but I went back. And then it's a lot harder. It's a a lot harder to get that deliverance. It's more work. But what am I a slave to? What am I bound up in? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Can I tell you something? Some of us haven't experienced freedom because we're still conformed to the pattern of the world. And it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's looking intently into God's perfect law. It's praying. It's accepting what the Word says. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. It's claiming that over your life. It's living in that. And it's washing your mind and cleansing your mind with the Word of God. Is it hard sometimes? Yes. Is it worth it? Yes. Many of us haven't experienced that freedom because our minds are still so much on the world. I want to go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We read there in Romans 12 what is good and perfect and will is. You know what is good and perfect will is? It's for you to be set free. It is. It's for us to be set free. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, right? Jesus came to set us free so that we will be free indeed from all these things that bound us. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And so as I was thinking about this, and I'll go back to the story about my dog, okay? My stupid dog. So I get off work, it's Wednesday, I'm trying to hurry and get to church, and I go to get my dog, and I'm thinking, I hope she hasn't fed the dog, because if she's fed the dog, it's even going to be harder to get her home. And so I'm hollering for the dog, putting food in her pan, she doesn't come. So I go to the house, to my neighbor's house, and she's this kind, older lady who loves animals. And she said, "Dog's just been here on the front porch all day." And I said, "Did you feed her?" She said, "No, I ain't fed her. She's just been drinking water." So I'm telling the dog, "Come on. Come on. Dog won't come." So I put a collar and a leash on the dog. You know what the dog does? It lays on its back. So I'm dragging it across her porch. And I can tell this lady doesn't like that I'm dragging the dog because she loves animals. I love animals too. I'm not hurting the dog, but the stupid dog won't come. So then the dog squats down and I'm dragging it across the ground. And I was like, well, okay. So then I got to go pick up this dog. And it's a big dog and I'm carrying this dog. And then she puts her face right up against mine and I'm thinking, is she going to bite me? Because she's, I'm like, I don't know if I fully trust this dog. And their face is right here up against mine and I'm smelling like a dog. And I'm carrying the dog through the woods and I'm getting slapped with these branches and everything else. And I set her down. I'm like, come on. Because we're out of view of the neighbor's house and the dog lays down again. I'm dragging it. I got to pick her back up and I got to take her back. And finally I get her home and I figure out what's wrong with the collar and I got her bound again. But as I was thinking about that, and I thought, that dog did not want to be enslaved to its perimeter once again. And it fought me with everything that was in it other than biting me. How many of us are that way with sin in the world, that we fight with everything we have to keep from going back to being enslaved? Does that make sense this morning? Now, I overpowered that dog to impose my will on that animal. But y'all, the Spirit God has given us is more powerful than anything that this world has. So that we don't have to be drugged back into it once again. Does that make sense? There's freedom for you and me if we would just grab hold of it. But we like our little bit of gossip. We like our little bit of arrogance. We like our little bit of lust. We like our little bit of bitterness and unforgiveness. It feels like it gives us some control and it gives us some power. And Jesus is saying that I've come to set you free and don't be Don't be bound again by a yoke of slavery. But how many of us, we're not like my dog. We're not fighting with everything in us. We just go right back into it. We go right back into that slavery. We go right back into that bondage. Verse 13 in Galatians 5, it says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the sinful or gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Do you guys feel that conflict inside of you sometimes? This week, there was twice that I typed out a text message and the Lord said, "Don't send it," and I had to delete it. Everything in my flesh wanted to send it, but the Lord said, "Don't. Don't send that." Y'all, there's a battle going on. You got to say, "Oh, Pete, that's a little thing. You don't know what my battle is. My battle's big. My battle's huge." All of us have battles that we on the inside that's going on. But what are you submitting yourself to? What are you giving into? What are you feeding? See, when you're feeding the flesh, when you're feeding the fleshly desires, that's what's going to win. But when you're intently seeking out the perfect law, then the freedom's going to win. When you're seeking Jesus with everything that's in you, Romans 6:16 says, "Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey as a slave, you are a slave to the one whom you obey, whether you are a slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness?" You know that sin that you think so wonderful, that sin that's gratifying your flesh right now, that sin that seems so fun? It leads to death. It does. It leads to death. I heard a story this week about forgiveness and unforgiveness and bitterness. And I heard that this testimony of people in nursing homes and these assisted living places, and these Christian women in their 80s and some of them in their 90s ministering and taking care of women in their 60s and 70s, and said the women that are older in their 80s and 90s look younger and act younger than those in their 60s and 70s, and said one of the biggest differences is the women that know Jesus and have a forgiving heart, and the younger women that are bitter and angry and upset about something. It even affects them physically, outside and inside. Y'all, what are you surrendering your body to? It leads to death if it's sin, but to obedience it leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Have you been set free this morning as we're coming up on Independence Day, on 4th of July? Have you really been set free, or are you still bound up? He says, "I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. So now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things resulted in death. But now that you have been set free from sin, have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Can I ask you this morning, have you really been set free? Y'all, I know there's people in this room this morning that are bound up to something other than righteousness, other than holiness. And you might say, "What I'm bound up to, it's really not that bad. You know, mine's just a little sinner. You might say, Pete, it's got such a hold on me. I don't know if I could ever be set free from it. You can be, whether it's big, whether it's little. And if it's little, don't say, oh, it's just a little thing, because those little things grow roots. Those little things grow into something. You know, another message, and I guess that's maybe for this morning, but have you guys ever seen anybody that had a pet raccoon? Has anybody ever seen a pet raccoon? I have. And when they're little bitty baby raccoons, they're adorable. They're so cute. But do you know what happens with raccoons? When they grow up, their natural instinct takes over. And I remember a story 3, 4, 5 years ago where one grew up and it tore up a little girl that was like 8 or 9. They'd raised that raccoon from when it was a baby. So why did it turn on this little girl? Because that was what its natural inclination is. And the reason why I'm telling you that is that little sin that you think in your life that's really not hurting anything, that little bit of bitterness, that little bit of unforgiveness, that little bit of lust, when it grows, it's going to turn on you. And it's going to lead to death, is what the Word of God says. So I just want to encourage you this morning that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Y'all get free from the bonds that so entangle us here in this world, the flesh and the desires of the world, the things that keep grabbing hold of you, that you keep gravitating towards, that you know are not of God. Get free this morning. Jesus wants to set you free. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word today. And I pray, Lord, that I know there's things in my life that have way too much control over me. And I believe that there's other in this room this morning, Lord, that have allowed the world, that have allowed the worldly system, that have allowed the desires of this world to so control them. And I pray right now, Lord, that there'd be freedom for each and every one of us, that we would walk out into the light this morning and let our hearts be exposed and let our lives be exposed to what's been, what we've been submitting to, what we've become slaves to. And Father, that we would find true freedom from this worldly system, true freedom from the approval of what the world says, and only seek your approval. May your Holy Spirit have free reign in here this morning. May you speak to each and every one of us. May we leave here changed. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, if you need deliverance this morning, if you need to just spend some time alone with the Lord, the altar's open. I want to encourage y'all today to make the tough decisions, because you know the tough decisions, making the right one, oftentimes it leads to that freedom. And this week I had more than one occasion I absolutely did not want to do something, and everything in my flesh did not want to do it, but I knew that it was what the Lord had told me to do, and so I did it. And sometimes it's not easy, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's not fun, but you walk in those little steps of obedience, and y'all, they lead to victory. They lead to victory in the big things that you seem like you can't get a handle on. They lead to victory. And I want to challenge you this week, if you think something don't have control over you, try not to do it for a day. Maybe the Holy Spirit right now will bring something to your mind. Don't do it for one day. There's times that, you guys know I love Mountain Dew. There are times that I had to go, okay, I'm not going to drink Mountain Dew today. And you say, Pete, that's silly. Well, it had a hold on me. Coffee, whatever it is, set something down in your life, if it's social media or whatever it is, and just take one day and say, Lord, I don't think it has control over me. Or maybe, Lord, it does have control of me. You give me strength. Give me freedom, so that I won't be controlled by anything but your Holy Spirit. It's hard. I encourage you to fast. I encourage you to get down and then look in His Word. And listen for His voice. In each and every day. Love you, church. 5:30 elders meeting, 6 o'clock prayer meeting. Depending on the weather, we may go the track and walk. We may not. If it's super hot, we won't. If it's raining, we won't. If it's nice, we will. And so you're all welcome to come. And so I'll see you all this evening.